The case against two former executives at Tyco ended today in a mistrial. After a six-month trial and 12 days of jury deliberations, the judge granted a motion for mistrial from defense attorneys. It was their fifth. They had objected to public pressure placed on one possible holdout juror whose name had been published in newspapers last weekend. The district attorney says he will retry former Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski and former chief financial officer Marv Schwartz. They were accused of taking $600 million from the company in unauthorized bonuses, perks, and improper stock sales. NPR's Nancy Solomon reports.
In the end, it wasn't the $6,000 shower curtain. It wasn't the videotaped birthday party showing an ice sculpture of Michelangelo's David that urinated vodka. What sunk the Tyco corporate looting case was the media frenzy over a possible okay gesture, which could have been the efforts of one elderly woman to pick lint off her sweater. Last Friday, after one juror was apparently seen gesturing to the defense table, several newspapers printed her name, and one tabloid published a courtroom drawing that exaggerated the gesture. The exact reasons for today's mistrial are under court seal, but the judge said the media coverage had done a great disservice to the juror and her family. Juror Peter McTaggart told CNN the mistrial was frustrating.
We virtually had a verdict yesterday afternoon. It was even talked. Someone said, well, you know, why don't we just stay an extra half hour because we were that close.
McTaggart says they were on the verge of finding Kozlowski and Swartz guilty on at least three counts of grand larceny and the conspiracy and securities fraud charges. Even though the Saturday tabloid cover was hard to avoid, he said jurors returned on Monday and even the lone holdout was ready to deliberate.
We were begging for a mistrial last week, and they said no. We went back in and tried to work things out. Obviously, we had some hiccups along the way, which were astonishingly well documented outside the courtroom. And then today, the mistrial came because of something that happened outside the courtroom.
Had the jury convicted on just one grand larceny charge, that would have been enough to send the multimillionaires to state prison for 30 years. The defendants and their attorneys left the courthouse quickly with very little comment. While it might be expected they would be pleased by the mistrial, Swartz's attorney, Charles Stillman, said that wasn't the case.
We're disappointed that we were not able to finish the mission that we started 6 months ago.
Stillman says in 40 years of trials, he has never seen anything like this one. There was a complete communication breakdown on the jury last week, followed by the gesture and ensuing press coverage. It's not against the law to print jurors' names, but Yale Law Professor Stephen Duke says it defies journalistic ethics that protect the privacy of ordinary citizens who find themselves, through no fault of their own, in the public spotlight.
Normally, the press has enough common sense not only to leave the names of the jurors out of the newspaper or out of the coverage, but to stay away from them. In this case, they didn't exercise either common sense or restraint.
Duke says defendants usually gain the upper hand from mistrials because their attorneys know the game plan of the prosecution. But this case came so close to conviction. Duke says the prosecution may be able to win its case next time by simplifying their arguments. The prosecutors now have dozens of notes from the jury that indicate which parts of the case confused or concerned them, and that gives them a pretty good roadmap to what worked and what didn't. That could be why District Attorney Robert Morgenthau quickly announced he would retry the case. The first hearing will be held May 7th. Nancy Solomon, NPR News, New York.